Good. Thank you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Keep your finger right there. And we're going to go through many verses, so be ready, please. 1 Peter. Anyone don't have a Bible? Raise your hand, please. Do we have a Bible here? Did we bring the Bible? Anyone don't have a Bible? Hand you up. Hey, how about that? All right, cool. That's great. We American has a weird concept. And it's not necessarily just American. Just about every human being has a weird concept when it comes to holiness. When you think about holiness, what kind of stereotype of a word comes into your mind? Holiness. What kind of thing? What kind of word? Huh? Religious. And? Weird? Sagging face? Long robe? Halo behind their head? No laugh? No joke? Getting up 4 o'clock in the morning, starting with a prayer? All of this stuff. Whenever we think about holiness, often we think about no fun, no humor, sense of humor, anything like that in our lives. So when we declare that we become a Christian and I'm reading Holy Bible, what are our friends or family members, those who are not born again Christians, says, why did you do that for? You're going to lose all the fun. Alright, so we're going to miss out getting drunk. We're going to miss out filing bankruptcy because of gambling. We're going to miss out getting a sexual disease because of, you know, sexually transmitted disease and kind of thing. And we get to miss out, you know, distrust from our family member. So what are we missing out? Not really. Whole lot. As a matter of fact, when we miss out those things, it's a good thing. Holiness does not, you might want to jot this down, holiness does not consist in mystic speculation, but it's not like isolation from the rest of the world. But God wants us to have a holiness while we are living in the world. So I'll make that in three words. Insulation, but not isolation. Insulation, not isolation. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Oh, by the way, speaking of Philippians, that reminds me we should pray for a very important thing. How many ladies are going to the women's retreat? Raise your hand. Okay, great. And how many? You're not going, Terry? Okay. You can wear the scarf, but don't shave your mustache, though. You'll just blend in so well. Let's go to Philippians in chapter 2, and we will pray. And especially we'll pray for the woman's retreat. Heavenly Father, what a joy this is, getting into your word again, to seeking your face, to getting know you intimately. We lift up the woman's retreat that is going to start tomorrow evening. Let your Holy Spirit be followed on everyone who participating, those who speak, and let your Spirit be mighty upon them so they speak nothing but your word. Let them be nothing more than your mouthpiece. And those who are there to listen, open their heart to receive your truth. When they come back to our homes, let them be refreshed, renewed, and recharged. And they may be filled with the Holy Spirit more than ever before. They won't be same as before. We're asking your guidance upon their retreat. Now we open our heart to receive your word. We're asking your anointing upon your word and on the one who speaks. And please forgive the one who speaks because his sins are many. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. 2:15. That you may become blameless and harmless. 2:15. Blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of crooked and perverse generation. Do you agree this is a perverse and crooked generation? If you don't believe that, just look at what happened with the Britney Spears. Let's not go there. Among whom, who shine as a light in the world. We are light in the world. He didn't say we should become light in the world. He said be light in the world. We are light in the world. This is a crooked and perverse generation. During the medieval time, and still, there are a lot of people who wants to be the follower of God, and they go to monastery, or what's the other side? Woman's, huh? Convent. There we go. They go into that place, isolate themselves from the world, and they have nothing to do with the world. They're living in this cocoon. We are not supposed to live in a cocoon, ladies and gentlemen. We are not. By the way, how many of you guys have a non-Christian friend? Okay. How often do you associate with them? Not just work. Do you make an extra effort to meet with them? To have a lunch with them? To have a dinner with them? We don't. We pretty much cut all the relationship off. I'm going to stick with the Christians, those heathens, pagan. I have nothing to do with them, so we don't want to do anything to do with them. We have to. How are they going to see the light? How are they going to see the flavor of salt if we cut them off from our lives? Again, insulation, not isolation. Let's make an example. Saddam Hussein used mustard gas. That doesn't mean he put a bunch of mustard on people's head and to kill them. The mustard gas is yellow, one is yellow gas or mustard gas. They literally bomb it and it comes out of every hole in the body. They have body fluid. Let's say somebody threw the mustard gas in this room and every one of us has a gas mask. Alright? So, first thing we do, put in the bag, Mark knows about this kind of thing. And then pull it down, and not just the filter, so you can breathe. Let's say I have a gas mask, and I forgot to fill that hole that I made, that burned. And there's a hole. What happened to me? Outside, gas comes into my gas mask, I die. Outside is the world influence. Ladies and gentlemen, this is life and death. Don't take it lightly. If the worldly influence come into our lives, it will kill us spiritually. What does it mean? Does it mean I'm going to lose my salvation just because I sinned once? No, I didn't say that. When we sin against God, all of a sudden we're losing that close, intimate relationship with God. Okay, don't raise your hand because I'm not going to embarrass you. When you and I were sinning against God, when we're continuously sinning against God, one after another, did you have that intimate relationship with Him? No. Let's look at the David. By the way, when we finish the First Peter, we're going to go to 2 Samuel, so read ahead. We're going to start it in sometime in April. And when we finish Matthew, we're going to jump into the last book. We're going to start the first book, so we're going to go to the last book, Revelation, on Sunday. Who said it? Yes. We'll see what happened. I think in such a time like this, is Revelation a good book to study? If we don't isolate ourselves from the worldly thing, it will happen to us just like it happened to David, King David. He is the star of the Israeli people, he is the best hero other than Moses and Abraham. David, of course, there's a few sins we know, but one was the biggest one. Bathsheba, what happened to him? He fell, he sinned against God. How long he sinned? He kept his silence. One over a year. You would not find one time he talked to God. One time he prayed to God. Why? Because he doesn't want to come back, face God. That's the relationship we get to have when we sin against God. When we sin against God, we cut our relationship with our own knife, separate ourselves from God. That's the influence of sin. That's the influence of world. Let's go to John chapter 17. Let's see what Jesus says. John chapter 17, verse 14 and 15. John 17, that is right before 18, Troy, in case you haven't noticed. And you're thinking, yeah, I know, hey. Verse 14, I have given them your word, Jesus speaking, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you, Father in heaven, should take them, disciples, out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil one. Again, insulation, not isolation. What is the world? I explained to you, all of you knows about it, but let's go down to the 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, please. 1 John is right after 2 Peter. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John. When I came to know Jesus Christ, and then somebody told me, and my mentor told me, read the book of John. It's the life of Jesus Christ. So I opened up the Bible and started reading. This doesn't say anything about Jesus Christ. I was reading 1 John. I was that ignorant. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, and he's listing all this, the lust of flesh, the lust of eyes, the pride of life, and is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. The world system is manipulated by who? Satan. He is the greatest puppeteer I ever know. Have you ever seen puppeteers? They have this, I'm not talking about finger puppeteers. One with a string. Whatever you pull, they have to move like this, right? Do I look pretty? The world influence always has string attached, ladies and gentlemen. So if once we receive that world influence, when he pulls, we have to do this. When he pulls, we have to do this. Whatever he pulls, because of string attached, because we swallow the bait, we have to do what he says. The bait Satan used against us packed with a lot of punches. It has a gob of fame, gob of fun, gob of reputation, comes with a fortune, power, or pleasure. Proverbs says a pleasure of sin is for a season, for time being. If you say there's no pleasure in sin, you're lying. If there is no pleasure, nothing but agony, nobody will go through sins. Any idiot knows that. It winks us. It fans our pride. It entices our carnal desire. It makes you to feel like, make me to think that I feel like I'm some sort of hunk or $6 million man or whatever, when I'm not. It makes us to think that we are not, when the truth comes, we are opposite. One thing we have to remember is God allowed us to have what we have. It's given by God. Whether you have a lot of money or not a whole lot of money, if you cannot make ends meet from paycheck to paycheck, God allowed that to happen. If you're living high roller, God allowed that to happen. Has nothing to do with your capability, has nothing to do with my capability. If I have a lot of money, has nothing to do with me. God allowed that to happen. If you don't have a whole lot of money, you can barely make ends meet. God is using that to mature us. God is using that to teach us about stewardship. You have a lot of money, God bless you. Use that for your for the glory of God. Not for your glory. That's not what I meant. Use it for the glory of God. There's a doctrine within the realm of Christianity said, I went to their website, just, I don't know what I was thinking. I guess I was bored of my goal. I went to their website and they said, health and prosperity and freedom. I thought, sounds like a Amway website. I'm not going against the Amway, but this is supposed to be a Christian website, and they declared, if you have a faith and you will be wealthy, healthy, and you will have all these things, they just claim it, name it, blab it, grab it. Where in the Bible he said that? Oh yeah, they say they can do that out of context. If that's what the Lord has in mind, you become rich, good for you. More power to you. Use it for the glory of God. It's not yours anyway. Why you claim it? Second thing. Now we are going to the actual text, verse 13 of 1 Peter. We're going to find out how to be holy. God says, be holy. How are we going to be holy? So let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. All right. Apostle Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, he's writing, he's telling us how to be holy. I find three commands. If you jot it down like a... If you jot the things down in the Bible like I do, you might want to mark it down the road. Verse 13, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Number one, be sober. That's the number one command. Number two, rest your hope fully upon the grace that, underlined from the rest all the way to the grace, that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Devil will do anything to destroy. What is his purpose? He come to steal, kill, and destroy, right? He come to steal our joy of the Lord. He come to kill our testimony. He come to destroy our faith in him. To go against that, we have to be holy. How? Number one, we find it says be sober. All right. How many guys are sober now? Okay, how many of you guys are drunk? You're drunk? Actually, okay, I'll get there later. Be sober is in what it says is, means spiritually, emotionally, sound mind. Pull of the world is as subtle as and strong as gravity. You don't realize it's happening, but it happened. How many of you guys, when you sin, when I sin against God, how many of you guys get up in the morning, okay, I'm going to sin against God today. I think I'm going to have an affair with somebody. Or I'm going to go out, buy the porno magazine and start to read it from the cover to cover. Or I'm going to start to gamble. Or I'm going to start to do this. I'm going to start to do that. You don't. It starts with a very subtle erosion. You give one control over to Satan, and another control, and another control. Pretty soon, you are hook, line, and sinker down all the way to the bottom, and become puppet of his. Command, the word says, be holy, and for I am holy, coming from Leviticus chapter 11, 44. It sounds like an extremely tall order, don't you think? Okay, God is holy, so it's no big deal for him to be holy. It's in his nature. We are sinner, and God Bible says we are wicked, we are scum. All right, so how am I going to be holy? That's why he's telling us. If that's not enough, he's telling us how to do it and compare it with the comparison chart. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. That's what happened when I fly around. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians is right before the Ephesians, right after the 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit. That's worthy of underline. Walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of flesh. For 5:16. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. But from here, he's listing all these things that are bad, that we should avoid. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication. Oh, by the way, just a side note, no extra charge. Fornication. What's the fornication mean? Fornication? Come on, talk back to me. Sex outside marriage. Yes and no. Adultery is sex outside marriage. Fornication is sex before the marriage. Porneia, coming from the Greek word porneia, porneia. Guess what kind of word we get out of that porneia? Pornography. Fornication is sex before marriage. So if you are not married, all right, until you marry to a godly man and woman, or one or another. Okay. I'm not saying both. And we are recording this, right? Great. It's going to be on the internet too. Until you marry to that person, you are not allowed to have a sex. When I was a web servant for the Calvary Tucson several years ago, I got an email from one person. He said, I'm 40 years old. I'm sleeping with my girlfriend. Is that wrong? I sent the email back with the two words. No, duh. No, I didn't do that. And said, yeah, it is wrong. I explained to him. He said, well, we are over 40. I thought the fornication is only for the teenagers. I thought, show me where that is in the Bible, you dimwit. I didn't say that again. I was thinking about it. You know, people come up with a justification for anything. Where am I? Other fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, that's including horoscope, all of that garbage, okay? Hatred, contention, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalry, and the like of the which I've told you beforehand, just as I told you in the past, that those who practice such a thing will not inherit the kingdom of God. Does it mean that you did any one of this and we repent, you cannot gain the kingdom? That's not what it meant. You continue to do so, remain in this thing, and you don't want to get out. Yeah, you will. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is the kicker. This is the best part. Underline one word for me. Fruit of the Spirit, next word, what? Is. Does it say fruits of the Spirit are? No. What does it mean? Fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. What about the rest of them? They are the aspect of love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, some of your translation, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So whenever we do all of these eight aspects of things, then we get to have what? Love. When we have a love, we don't do any of the bad things. So in other words, verse 21 and verse 22 separate bad behavior, good behavior, bad unholy thing, good holy thing. Right? Against such a thing, there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoke one another, envying one another. Underline, provoking one another, envying one another. That's one of the frequent tools Satan used to bring the dissension within the fellowship. What did I talk about before we start the study? Devil will bring the dissension within this fellowship, right? This is the tool he's going to use. If you start to envy, if you start to provoke one another, you are the cause. Stop. Don't do it. Alright. Holy Spirit is using Apostle Paul's pen and telling us how to do it. We got the clear message. And I actually underlined the rest your hope fully upon the grace. What does it mean? It means we have absolute faith in God. We cannot have rest our hope upon His grace if we don't have a confidence in God. It is important for us to understand we got to have a confidence in His capability by faith. Then we will have hope in God. So, if I can draw some sort of mathematic formula, faith equal rest in God, equal hope in God. You follow me? Faith equal rest in God and hope in God. You can't have hope in God if you don't believe in Him. If you can, you cannot have rest in Him if you don't believe in Him. We need to walk in faith, not by sight. Remember what we talked about, what we studied last Sunday? Peter walked on what? What? Water. He walked on faith, on word of Jesus. Yes, physically he walked on water, but spiritually he was walking on the word of Jesus in faith. Let's go to the verse 17 of 1 Peter. Back to there. Verse 17. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judge according to each one's work, on the line and put number 3, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Circle, put the diamond shape, put the star shape, I don't care what you do with the on the line in fear. And then you write then right next door, right next there to there, write Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. What does it say in the Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7? It says, fear of the Lord is what? Beginning of the knowledge. When we have, what kind of fear is that? Is that a fear that you have, that kind of fear? No. It's awe. When we stand, I've never been in the Grand Canyon. Can you believe that I've been living in Arizona for 22 years? I've never been in the Grand Canyon. Yeah, don't laugh at me. But I'm looking at, there's one place I want to go, Grand Teton. Whenever I look at that picture, I say, wow. I'm saying wow in awe. A-W-E. We say the word awesome. We use that word kind of without thinking. There's only one person who deserves the word awesome. It's God. That awe is a realizing there's nothing we can say, or the word we can describe about God. The fear of God, realizing who He is and who we are, then all of a sudden we have that fear of God, godly fear. Not afraid of Him, but we don't want to insult Him. We want to love Him because He loved us first. So it coming from that word, godly fear. All right, what's the fear got to do with this? We often think the fear and the reminder of pain are bad. Is it? Are they really bad? No. In my opinion, reminder of pain and the fear can be our help. I'm not going to ask you to do this. If you have a cigarette lighter, pull it out. Just joking. Pull out this fire or light from gas range or whatever. Try to stick your hands on the top of your burning gas range. Or pick up the charcoal, burning charcoal from Troy's barbecue grill. Why wouldn't you do it? Because we have an idea that as soon as we touch that burning charcoal, it will burn us. It will hurt us. That's a reminder of pain. That's a fear. It's good to protect us. When we have a fear of God, the awesomeness of God, we will do less of our sin. The fear of God equal beginning of our knowledge. Knowing God. Isn't that what it's all about? Get to know Him. Our motto, our church motto is knowing Jesus. And what? Making Him known. Knowing Jesus and making Him known. We get to know Him. We get to know His awesomeness. And let's spread the same awesome knowledge to the people. That's what we are going to do. We're going to go after people's lives. Let's go to verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with the corruptible things like a silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. In other words, He was not a, oops, plan B we better have. By the way, same person who come up with the idea of health and prosperity and freedom, all of that. He is the one who claimed to say it was a plan B. What a good doctrine. What an idiot. But was the manifest in this last time for you who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope in God, Jesus became our atoning sacrifice so that we may live forever in His setting. This was set up before the creation. It was not plan B. Let's go on. And let's come up with the application. Number one, Let's pay close attention. Okay, let's go back. I forgot. We are supposed to be holy, right? So far we got the instruction. Let's make that thing in the practical application, how to be holy. This is step number one. Let's pay close attention to what we allowed to come into our heart. Let's pay close attention to what we allow to come into our heart. Remember gas mask? Because my gas mask had a hole, I end up dying. Because I allow that kind of worldly influence come into my heart. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, please. And some of you are thinking, you're not done yet? No. You don't like it? Get over it. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If you then, you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. This is the highlight. Set your mind on the things above, not on things on earth. Remember, there's a two word, garbage in. What do you say? Garbage out. So let's pay attention to what we allow to come into our heart. Second application. Let's give a greater thought to the consequences of sins rather than its pleasure. Yes, there is a pleasure of sin. But let's think about what kinds of consequences we will face when we sin against God. Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs is right after Psalm, right before Ecclesiastes. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 22. Are you awake, Jim? I just want to pick on you. I haven't picked on you for a few days. Verse 22. Immediately he went after her. As an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stock, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastened to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. Isn't that a very, very clear picture of the consequence of sin? Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray from her path. For she has cast down many wounded. Cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way of to hell, and descending to the chamber of death. All right, third application. Let's start each day by renewing our sense of reverence of God. Let's start each day by renewing our sense of reverence for God. Not of God, for God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, please. This is memory verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Chapter 7, verse 1. That's extension of my Spanish. And Jenny says, yeah, my dog knows more than you. Since we have this promise, I know I'm quoting the NIV. Since we have this promise, dear friend, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates our body and the spirit, perfecting the holiness out of reverence of God. Such a good verse. Purifying our body and the spirit, perfecting the holiness by how? How? Purifying. For what? in reverence of God. Fourth application. Let's focus fully on God with meditation and praise and prayer several times a day. That means that, in other words, we should keep our mind in God. If we set our heart in above heavenly thing instead of earthly thing or instead of worldly thing, this comes very naturally. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews is right before the James. Hebrews 12, 2. Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. If we think about what he has done for us, is there anything we wouldn't do for him? Ask yourself and ask myself. Last application. Let's check our heart frequently. When I got many years ago, I'm better. Really, I'm honest goodness, I'm better than that. I thought when I got the vehicle at the beginning, all I have to do is just gas it. And then it's supposed to go. All the time. Never break down. Surprise. Friend of mine checked the oil. Because he knows a lot more than I can tell the difference between tire and the battery. That's my extensive knowledge when it comes to the vehicle. And the David Black goes, yeah, I know you're stupid. I didn't think about putting the oil in the engine. And when he checked the oil in the engine, he said, there's not oil in this car. I need oil? He looked at me like, yeah, idiot. It requires a lot of things. We need to check ourselves. Psalm 139, 24, and 23 and 24. Psalm 139. Some of you guys know this by heart. Search me, O God, know my thought, know my heart, try me, and know my anxiety. And see if there is anything wicked in me, and lead me in the path of righteousness. First application, let's pay close attention to what we allow to come in. Garbage in, garbage out. Second one, let's give a greater thought for the consequences of our sin. Third application, let's think of renew our heart. Let's start each day with renewing our mind. For the reverence of God. Fourth, let's fully focus on God with the meditation, prayer, and word. Fifth application, let's check our heart periodically, see where we're standing. Okay? You got that? You didn't get that? Do you want me to explain all over again? Do you want me to do it, Karen? You said yes? Let me do it again? Let's stand up and pray.